Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a teaching that I did in Phoenix, Arizona, in the month of January 2012, and this was 10 years after God spoke to me about how I had limited Him. And so I began to change, and boy, has my life radically changed. It's just tremendous what God has done. And I tell you, this isn't just for me, this is for all of us. We limit God. I first of all talked about how that we have wrong doctrines, such as the sovereignty of God, a fatalistic approach, and we just think whatever will be, that'll limit God. Then I talked about how our lifestyle isn't conducive to having God speak to us. We need to learn to be still and know that He is God and dream. And then on our program yesterday, I started talking about how that fears limit God, a fear of change. There's people that hate the situation they're in, and yet they're afraid to change. They're afraid to do something. They're afraid that they might fail. On today's broadcast, one of the main points, and of course this will be in a lot more detail, but it's about these four lepers that were at the gate of Samaria during a famine. They were outcasts. They were starving to death. If they went into the city, they were going to die. That was for sure. If they stayed there, they were going to die. And they said, how long are we going to sit here until we die? And they decided to take a risk and go out to the enemy. And they said, the worst thing that could happen is that we would die. I love that reasoning. And there are some of you thinking, but if I was to do something, I might die. Well, you know what? What's different between dying and having a slow death where you're miserable and depressed and you hate your job and you hate all of these things? I'm telling you, we just need to throw caution to the wind and go for it. And I think that this is going to help you today. So watch this. This is a live teaching from our Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar, and it will bless you. My brother just retired involuntarily. He already is retired from being a teacher, and then he had a job with the Texas prison system going around, and he was controlling all of the vocational mechanics courses in the prisons in Texas. And anyway, they downsized, and so they laid him off. So he just retired involuntarily the second time, and for the last few months, he's about to climb the wall. Like, what am I going to do with my life? And you know, he's not totally receptive to everything I share, so I couldn't talk to him like the way I'm talking to you, but I was so thankful that, Father, I've got a purpose that is going to keep me going until I draw my last breath. There's never going to be an end to what I'm doing. I'm believing that, man, I'll leave preaching. I was with Oral Roberts just a couple of months before he died, and Oral Roberts was still preaching and meeting with people and talking to them and having people into his home and still taking the things that God put in his life and putting it in other people when he was 90-something years old. That's the way you need to go out. Amen? You need to have a purpose. So anyway, I could spend all night on this, but I'm just trying to say that this is one fear. People just fear being uncomfortable. Being stretched, it's good for you. If you aren't living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. You ought to be living on the edge. God may, it's exciting. You can ask Jamie. Jamie used to pray when she was a kid. She saw her mother and father just get up, go to work, come home, watch television, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, watch television, go to bed. And she prayed, God, I pray that my life will never be boring. She got her prayer answered. It is not boring. Amen. It's anything but boring. It's all her fault. It's that woman that God gave me. But you know what? That's a great idea. Man, we got the life of God on the inside of us. Don't be content with just doing nothing and just surviving and getting by and watching television and doing stuff. There's more to it than that. Man, you need to have a purpose. You need to have something that drives you. So a fear of change and you just have become lazy, you need to get over it. Amen? You need to go to believing God for something else.
Another fear is a fear of the unknown. People just fear nearly instinctively things that they don't know. But you know, again, the answer for fear is 1 John 4:18. Perfect love cast out fear. There is no fear in love. If you really have a dynamic relationship with God, you don't need to fear the unknown. You don't need to fear like starting over again. Some people, if I was to go to Bible college, man, what might God do? He might call me to go to Africa. And you're afraid of what God's going to ask you to do. If God calls you to go to Africa, you'll love it. You'll love it. It'll be awesome. If you had a really dynamic relationship with God, this fear of the unknown would be gone because you would know the one who holds the future, and God is never going to do anything to hurt you. He's always going to do things to bless you. When I was in the Baptist church, we used to sing this song about wherever He leads, I'll go. And we used to have missionaries come up and talk about, yeah, I made a total commitment and God drug me to Africa and I've been living in a grass hut and I've been persecuted. And they talk about all of the hardships, and man, it just scared me. Like, oh man, if I make an absolute surrender to God, He's going to do something terrible to me. That is not the way that it is. God's got to send somebody to Africa. But when He sends you, He will put the desire in it and you will love it. Our guy Leland Shores had just died this last year. He went to Africa and he loved it. He fell in love with it. And he told everybody, he says, I will die in Africa. And he did. But he was happy. He loved it. He was a Ugandan. He was converted to it. When God calls you to do something, it'll be for your own good. I'm not saying that there won't be any sacrifices, but it'll be well worth it. Jamie and I have made sacrifices, but what God is doing in our lives and the satisfaction that we have is worth it. It's worth it. Any little thing we've given up is infinitely rewarded much, much more by all of the people's lives that are being changed and the things that are happening. I'm telling you, don't be afraid of the unknown. You need to quit limiting God by wondering about what He will do. His plans for you are plans for good and not for evil. And again, I could spend a lot more time on that. Let me also mention a fear of failure. This is a big deal. People limit God because they're afraid that if I stretch out, I'll fail. If I take a chance, I'll fail. And you know what? I believe that the biggest failure of all is the people who play it too safe because they're afraid of making a mistake. You know, you will make mistakes. It will happen. But God's not going to fall off His throne because you make a mistake. You don't do everything perfectly. You know, when we moved into our building that we're in right now, we moved from 14,600 square feet to 110,000, and it was a major deal. We did it debt-free. It was awesome. I could spend a lot of time talking about that. But when we moved into there, I was trying to move in August so that our school could start the first of the year. We didn't get in until November. And during the dedication service, I had one of my students come up and says, "Are you disappointed that you didn't make it in August?" I said, "No, I'm not disappointed." I said, "Man, I'm just thrilled that we're here at all." That's not the way I think. I was shooting for August. That's what I was believing for. But if I shoot for the stars and miss and hit the moon, that's still better than most people have done. That's the way I look at it. I told them, "I've never done anything perfectly in my life." I said, "But I had $3.2 million come in, and we paid for this debt-free in 14 months. When we had had the biggest increase in our expenses that we had ever had, we doubled our television outreach so that we had added an additional $500,000 or $600,000 a month to our television bill. And during that time of unprecedented growth, I had an extra $3.2 million come in, and I got in 3 months late. I'm sure if I'd have been perfect, we'd have made it in August. But you know what? We made it, and now it's behind us, and it worked. And if you're afraid of doing something because you may not do it perfectly, you'll never get anything done. Man, you need to go for it. God's bigger than your mistakes. I had a friend contact me, and he's starting a Bible school, and so he wanted me to give him some instruction about how do you start a Bible school. And there was 4 pages of questions, and they were good questions. And at the end, they brought it to me because there was things that only I could answer. And one of them was, if you were doing it all over again, what would you do differently? And I thought about it, and you know what? I wouldn't have done anything differently. Our Bible school has transformed a lot. It's much, much better than it was. But at the time, I gave it everything I had. I didn't have very many resources, so I couldn't do things the way that we do them now. I didn't have the same personnel. There were so many limitations that if I would have just sat down and said, I'm going to do this Bible college perfectly, and it's going to be the best Bible college that there ever was, and if that's the only way I would have done it, we'd have never had a Bible college. You know what? We had to start with what we had. And yes, we made mistakes. And yes, we've learned. And now it's much better than it was. But you know what? There are people who you're just such a perfectionist. You're going to do everything perfectly. You're afraid you're going to make a mistake. So you aren't doing anything. And that's the biggest mistake of all. It's like a little kid learning to ride a bicycle. You will fall. You may cut your knee. But you know what? You get back up and you go again and you learn. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's a fear of people making a mistake. And it really comes down again to the fact that you aren't secure in Jesus. You're afraid that your identity, your worth is caught up in what you do. And it's not. You should have a relationship with the Lord to where your relationship with Him is what gives you pleasure and it what gives you security and identity. You know, right now, I know some of you are going to disagree with this, but if our ministry failed, if I had to go back to pouring concrete for a living, which I did, you know, before I got in ministry and stuff, I know that God loves me. He carries my picture in His wallet, and I could have a wonderful relationship with God without this ministry. My identity is not in this ministry. This is not who I am. This is just a vehicle that God has given me to use, but it... And some of you think, oh yeah, sure, it's easy to say. Well, I've been in a board meeting. David Artisty was in a board meeting when my board told me, you're bankrupt. Close the doors. We're shutting this thing down. And you know what? I had to consider. My board was going to shut our ministry down because we couldn't make it. And you know what happened when I thought about it? I got excited. I thought this would be awesome. My relationship with God would go through the roof if I didn't have all of the things of the ministry to deal with. My relationship with my family would be... I got really excited thinking about, man, wouldn't this be awesome to be Joe Blow Christian just in love with Jesus, have no responsibility. So you can say what you want to, but I've proven it in my heart that my identity is not in this ministry and what I do. I'm a human being, not a human doing. And so you need to find your identity and be secure in the Lord. And if you go out there and fail, did you know I believe God would be pleased with you as long as you did it in faith? I'm believing God for some things and they will come to pass. But you know, if for some reason it didn't happen, if I didn't get this building built, I've committed to not doing it with debt. And if the Lord doesn't come through with a miracle, I can't come up with $47 million in my next 3 lifetimes. So there is a potential that it couldn't happen. And if it didn't happen, you know what? I believe God would be pleased with me because at least I went for it. At least I stood and believed God. And I believe God would look at me and say, Andrew, you failed. And He'd tell me where I missed it. But He said, I'm proud of you because you tried. I think that's the way that God looks at things. And there are some of you that are just afraid to do anything because you might fail, and because of it, you're failing because you aren't doing anything. You're playing it too safe. Look over here in 2 Kings chapter 7. Here's a good example of what I'm talking about. There is a... Siege of Samaria that was the Syrians had them surrounded, and the siege had gotten so bad that people were actually selling animal dung for expensive prices. They were dying, and they were buying animal dung for these exorbitant prices. And actually, there's an example right here of two women who killed one of their babies and ate it. And then the next day, they were going to kill the other baby and eat it. That's how severe this famine was. And the Syrians were just starving the life out of them. And in this situation, it says here in 2 Kings chapter 7, in verse 3, there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die?" Man, that has got to be one of the most powerful statements in the Bible. They were lepers. They were outside of the city. In the city, people were eating their own children. They were eating animal dung. Think how bad it must have been outside of the city for the outcast. These people were in dire straits. And these four lepers were talking, and they said, "How long are we going to sit here? Till we die? And if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die. And if we sit here still, we die also. Now therefore, come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die." I love that. Most people would say, "We shall but die." Well, that is just such an extreme, terrible thing that no, I'll not consider any of those options. They wouldn't take a chance. But if they sat there, they were going to die. If they went into the city, they were going to die. If you really looked at it from a non-emotional thing, and if you just looked at it from a logical standpoint, this was the smartest thing to do. It was the only chance of survival that they had, was to go out and take a risk. Go discover yourself to the enemy. And they didn't have any weapons, they didn't have any swords, but go out there and run the risk of them putting you to death. You were going to die anyway. It was only a matter of a few days, a week, you might have been able to survive. But they did the logical thing and went out and took a risk. And when they got out there, the Lord had caused the Syrians to hear this sound of an army, and they thought that the Israelites had hired the Egyptians against them, and these people panicked and they just fled. They left all of their tents there. They had actually food still cooking on the fire. They left their gold, their silver, their raiment, everything. They left their animals still tied up. The people just ran in panic. And when these lepers got to the Syrian camp, nobody was there. And they went in and they found food and they began to eat. They found gold. They found silver. They became from poverty and starvation to where they were the richest people around. They had so much plenty they couldn't handle it. And finally they said, "This isn't good what we're doing. We need to go back and tell the people in Samaria what has happened." And they went back and they became the heroes. The lepers who had been the outcast and ridiculed by people became the heroes because they took a chance and went out and faced the possibility that, you know, it might cost them their life if they went out. But man, what a great example of what I'm trying to talk about. Many of you are limiting God because God has put some big things in your heart, but there's risk involved with it. And you're afraid to get out of the boat. If you turn over to the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, it's the same principle. Jesus came walking on the water, and Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of that boat and walked on the water. Did you know that every one of those disciples could have gotten out of the boat and walked on the water? But you know what? They were afraid to get out of the boat. But if you really read that in Matthew 14, it says, "Now the boat was full of water." What good is a boat if it's full of water? The boat was going down. That's the reason they were crying out and asking God for help, is because they were in the process of dying. They had a boat, but it was full of water. It was about to sink. And yet they were afraid to leave the security of a sinking boat. people are afraid to do something abnormal. How weird is it to quit your job and move and leave your family and friends and go to Bible college or go do what God told you to do? Or it's risky. And people are afraid to do something that's outside of the norm. You want to be like everybody else. And yet, look at everybody else. They're sick. They're poor. They're miserable. They're depressed. They're on uppers and downers, and their life is miserable, and yet we have such a draw to be like them and not get outside of the norm. I'm telling you, this world is dying. All of the people that you want to be like them, if you could see behind the scenes, they're miserable. They don't have joy and peace. You know, when I started in ministry, one of the things that I did, nobody else would listen to me, so I started going to nursing homes. And they will let anybody preach in a nursing home and in prisons. And I went to nursing home and prisons every week, and it was really good for me. I remember some of these people. I remember this one lady who, she was so proper. You could tell that she was very, very well-to-do. When she was younger, she always was picture perfect. Every hair was in place. She wore expensive clothes. And she was a very proper lady. And I'd go see her, and yet she'd spend a whole time I was there just crying. And talking about, I used to be somebody important. People used to come and seek me out. I had friends. And she says, it's been months since anybody comes to see me. And this woman was just sitting there waiting on death. Struggling. And man, I remember looking at that and thinking, God, I don't want my life to be this way. And you know what? You may not, it may be uncomfortable to talk about it, but every one of you are headed to old age. And again, I don't believe you have to be decrepit and sick, but you know what? You are going to get old. And is your life going to be about just working a job and then when they retire you, are you going to have no purpose? Is your life over? Are you just going to sit there and wait on death? Man, I don't want that. I don't think you want that. But that's where a lot of you are headed, because you are afraid to step out of the boat. You're afraid to follow what God is telling you. You're taking the easy way out. You got your retirement. You got your pension plan. I've had people come to me before and say, God told me to come to your school, but I've still got 5 years before I can retire. And if I was to leave right now, then I'd lose some of my pension. And I say, God can give you a lot more than your pension. God knew that you still had 5 years to go, and He called you now. He told you now. I said, why do you limit God by all of these kind of things? But see, we've got fear. Well, I might not have this. You're counting on your Social Security. Man, if you can't believe God for something more than Social Security, I'm not sure God needs you. I opted out of Social Security when I was 20 years old, and I hadn't got a penny coming. And you know what? God's taken care of me. Everything we own is paid for. You do not have to limit yourself about to your pension plan. And some of you, but all of my money's in the stock market, and look what's happened in the stock market. Man, God's bigger than that.
There's more than just classroom activity at Charis Bible College. Students at CBC participate in hands-on ministry, like corresponding with prison inmates who want to learn more about relationship with God.
We're required to minister to other people, to basically give out what's been put in us.
And we just have many hungry prisoners that want to learn the Word of God.
It's a volunteer program, and I volunteer and write letters to prisoners.
It's really touched me because everyone needs to know what Christ has done for them and how that changes their life.
This ministry is changing lives every day.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, Don't Limit God Times 10, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Every album will also include the Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third audio teaching in today's series is titled, Fear of Risk Limits God. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be ministering at several locations in Russia between May 24th and May 29th. He'll be in the UK next week for the Grace and Faith Family Conference June 1st through the 4th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference July 2nd through the 6th, in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar July 26th through the 28th. He'll also be in Toronto and Minneapolis for special one-night-only Gospel Truth rallies June 15th and 16th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give you an invitation to join me on July the 2nd through the 6th for our Summer Family Bible Conference. I tell you, this is always a highlight of the year. We're going to have children's ministry. We have hundreds of children that are ministered to in a very special way. We have special CBC information and registration. We will have the morning sessions. We'll all be our normal CBC hours. I'll be ministering every evening. We'll have our CBC band and choir ministering. It's just a great time, so make plans to join me on July the 2nd through the 6th. You can go to our website for more information.
Don't forget the special barbecue luncheon concert Wednesday, July 4th. Tickets are only $15 for adults and $10 for children ages 5 through 9. Tickets must be purchased online no later than Monday, June 25th. The 2012 Summer Family Bible Conference, July 2nd through 6th at the Pikes Peak Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Log on to awmi.net for registration information.